It's time for the forecast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the forecast, a podcast like no other.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? About nothing.
The Forecast, sponsored by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse is redefining how you view real estate by eliminating the typical commission structure of 6 or 7% to sell your home. List your home for $2,495 plus 3% and still get full service. Check out charterhouseiowa.com to learn more.
There's only one thing I value in this world, Stephen, that's loyalty. Without it, you're nothing. You have no one. It's the only currency you can count on.
Now, please welcome your hosts, Mark Charter and Chris Williams.
Sit down.
I think you may have something here.
Hello. It's podcast time. We are at the Charterhouse Real Estate offices. We're no longer looking at Village Inn, and the U.S. Cellular that used to be here is only in history. Now we have a giant scoreboard hanging up at the Charterhouse office.
Doesn't this place look sweet now? It's getting there, man.
It's getting there. Yeah, I feel like you guys are making some progress.
Yeah,
we still have a weak coffee game when you come in. But it's okay.
You won't be satisfied.
Shots fired.
You won't be satisfied until we have an actual barista serving you drinks.
We need like a bun coffee maker and then an espresso machine, and then I'll be good.
I will admit that KK did not host you properly today. You're a guest in this office.
Yeah.
You had to go fill up the water yourself.
Yeah.
He did offer to take his shoes off.
I'm a little disappointed, to be honest.
I did offer to take my shoes off. I feel like it's problematic anytime this time of year.
Yeah.
When you walk into a place that's not, like, because you're going to track.
Yeah. And our floor is especially terrible right now.
Yeah, because it's dark and it's hard.
Yeah.
And anything shows.
It's totally gross.
Why are you laughing, Nick?
Because
I said dark and it's hard. You think that's funny?
Yeah, I'm 8 years old, man. Come on.
Grow up.
We got a lot.
Why start now?
We got a lot to get to today. I'm gonna do the Ryan Gross shout out early, so we don't.
It's a good move.
Leave it behind later, which I've done I think before. Nick, you sell real estate, right?
I do.
And it's not the easiest thing in the world, right?
It is not.
But you know who's got it figured out?
Who? Tell me who.
I know.
Who?
Ryan Grove up with Hunziker in Ames.
In Ames. What can Ryan help you do, Chris?
Sell or buy a house in Ames.
And if you don't like Ryan, you can at least talk cycling sports.
I'll tell you this. Ryan's one of the most likable people. It's hard to not
like. It'd be hard to not like Ryan Grove.
He's really nice.
Yeah. But Ames area. And here's the other thing, too. This time of year, people are thinking, there's nothing going on in real estate. That would be incorrect.
That is 100% incorrect.
It's actually been pretty active this year. So if you're thinking about listing your house, call Ryan now. He can prep you for spring. He can get you ready to go. He can help you look at things. And if you're a buyer, this time of year is not a bad time to look at houses because sellers that are on the market right now, typically motivated to sell. They're not just trying things out as they want.
It's good education.
Snow track through their home. So give Ryan a call up at Hunziker. And the reason I wanted to get to it, I'm looking at this list. Sometimes I prepare a short little list of items to get to.
Call it a rundown in the radio business.
Do you see his notepad?
Yeah, it's a bill. So
it's an envelope.
I got four items here, and I'm sure we have more, but the four items here are we're going to talk Firefest, which is the documentary of choice right now on Netflix and Hulu. We were talking Big 12 arenas before we started, and just kind of get the Chris Williams rundown of the best arenas and the worst arenas in the Big 12. I've got a note here. Hollis gets high. Hollis is my daughter. She's four, and she got high this week, and I'll explain what that was about.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, and then we're going to announce the date for Hair Night, doing here. So guys with daughters out there that don't know how to do hair, that would be me especially. I'm one of these people. KK is going to be teaching a class here. And we'll talk about that in a bit. So what do you guys want to tackle?
I do want to talk about the Firefest thing and how I think it's really ironic that Chris last week was talking about the Cyclone Palooza.
All these
bands coming. Going to be this great festival. I mean, I already gave him $10,000 for the VIP suite. I'm assuming white tent.
So run down for people that have not seen one of the documentaries.
I hadn't seen either of the docs at that point either. That's what's crazy.
One of you guys give the summary of what we're talking about. What is Firefest?
Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, I'm going to really strip it down. Dude scams people out of tons of money, says it's going to be this huge festival on this island. Isn't it even on the island they originally intended to be? There's no luxury villas available for these people that have all put out, you know, thousands of dollars down on this
stuff. They don't even have water.
They don't have water.
These people were initially, they did a really, really good job of promo. They got some of the best supermodels in the world, shot high-quality videos down in the Bahamas, and said this is going to be the music festival to end all music festivals.
Ja Rule was involved.
Ja Rule was involved. They pre-sold packages to this stuff for different types of lodging. But what was really weird is they did all of this without announcing any musical acts at all. People were buying tickets based on having no idea who was going to be there.
I mean, in fairness, you figure Ja Rule's running it. He's going to get some big names there.
Really, the big tragedy.
Huge names, like Blink-182.
The whole deal throughout this thing that is the greatest tragedy is I feel like this is tainting Ja's great legacy.
Well, how did
one of the greatest rappers of all time.
How did you,
Ja never had anything on Fitty.
How did you walk away? Because they didn't really focus. Ja Rule was partnered on this failed venture, but they didn't really focus on
him. I question how he's kind of got off scot-free.
He's claiming it. He's like the victim.
Yeah,
it's kind of the role he's playing.
Maybe he wasn't taking the money. You know, the other guy, the main guy that was running the show.
I feel like there's an aspect of this where this Billy guy was really the brains behind everything, and Ja was just kind of a early it seemed to me like he was brought on to be Ja Rule.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he had really nothing to do with the organization of it and all this stuff, but he was still like scamming people.
So to give you
like, he's still
to give you an indication of what type of character this Billy, what's his last name?
He is a national bigger version of the one radio guy who scammed people for decades.
Here locally.
Yes.
Got it.
I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to get sued or anything, but
I think he has enough people suing him.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. You know what I mean.
People know who we're talking about.
Billy McFarland.
So Billy McFarland. So this festival is going awry. Nothing's going right. It's pretty evident at this point it's going to be a failure or get canceled. And there's a guy involved that is helping organize it. He has no money behind it, but he's helping
try
to pull this thing off. I don't know if it was Graham or not. And this Billy guy, who's a younger kid. I mean, he's not a kid, but he's a younger guy.
He's just a bullshitter is what he is.
So anyway, they need something done on the island to pull this off.
To get water.
Oh, it
water
was just,
through customs? Is that what you're going with this story?
Yeah, so yeah. They're trying to get water through customs, and apparently the guy that controls that on the island is a homosexual. That's relevant for where I'm going. And Billy calls this organizer guy, who's also a homosexual, and says, in order to help the festival, you need to go over and suck his D. And the guy agrees to do it to help save the festival. He's willing to take one for the team. He doesn't end up having to actually do it. But just the fact that the guy asked him to go do it to help him out was an interesting request.
That's commitment. And did he agree to do it?
Did you watch the Netflix?
The Netflix one.
Okay, yeah. I would recommend watching the Hulu one, too.
That has a lot more interviews with Billy.
So
right?
I think that the Netflix one goes more in-depth on it, and it gives you more of an overlook of, like, the inner workings of how that was going down, because the F. Jerry media guys are...
Tons of behind-the-scenes footage.
Yeah. The Hulu one, I feel like, is a great complement to the Netflix one to watch afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's more like with Billy McFarland and it's more with like employees and stuff like that.
Yep.
And more people who are actual victims and weren't the guys playing the part in it, like these promotional guys. It's a good second one to watch. I would highly recommend it.
Which one did you like better?
I probably liked the Hulu one better only because of what I just said.
Yeah.
Like I felt like I knew so much about it because of the Netflix one that this was like really the cherry on top.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Do you feel like he was trying to scam people all along, or do you feel like he just maybe got in way over his head and didn't know how to deal with it?
That's kind of where I landed, Nick. Like, I don't think that this guy created Firefest just to screw over a bunch of millennials.
Okay, I agree with you guys.
But I think he's a serial artist, and he had no idea.
I agree with you that it seemed like it was a good idea that went wrong versus an outright con from the beginning. However...
He still should have canceled.
However, in the documentary I saw, after all of this is done, he gets involved in this ticket thing, which was a scam too.
Yeah. He's a serial con artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so and he was letting that be filmed.
You can't give him the benefit of doubt with anything.
No. No. And again, it reminds us of someone that we know locally. Big
yes.
time. Especially
yes.
when it came to tickets. And
that's
like that.
The only thing I could think of when I was watching this thing.
Yeah. So anyway, Firefest, if you want to check it out, it's F-Y-R-E. It's fire. It's still a thing, by the way. Because it was a music.
It was a way to book musical
Town.
Acts, right?
Well, Josh started his own one now. He stole Billy yeah. McFarlane's idea, and now he's doing it with somebody else.
Well, he's the victim.
Yeah, I walked away not having great opinions of Ja Rule.
The best part in the Hulu one. So it's the same guy. He's like a venture capitalist. He's the guy who started like the fake fire fraud account.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
To try to bust him.
I want to have a beer with that guy. He seems like my kind of guy. He's just like, who are these idiots? Like, it was great. So he, in the second one, in the Hulu one, is talking about, you know, and I'm sitting here watching this, and then I hear that Ja Rule's involved, and I'm like, oh, great. He's like, and all I can think of, have you ever seen the Chappelle stand-up on Ja Rule?
No.
Oh, my God. I'll play it for you when we're done. He's like, actually, you know what? I could probably play it through my microphone here.
He does a Ja Rule impression or talks about
it.
Ja Rule?
He talks about it, but this guy is referencing it as he is as he's talking about Ja Rule getting involved in the Fyre Festival, and it's freaking hilarious. Ross sent me the clip here of the Ja Rule. Give me 1 second. I'll play it for you guys.
While you're worried about playing that, maybe we can kind of talk about something else quickly here.
Yeah.
And that I have an entire Loomis P album on my computer here.
Wow, it only took you a week.
I sent it to you like 10 minutes after you left last week.
I never got it.
I texted you a clip of it.
Yeah, it was like 12 seconds.
And you gave me no response. So I figured you didn't give
a
crap anymore.
I thought that it was
a sample.
Fake news. Like, I didn't think it was real.
So you didn't bother investigating it?
Fake news.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Yeah, man, they would. But I'm like, for real, why you care so much what the Dixie Chicks say? It's not like they political scientists or nothing. They can sing good. You know what I mean? Stop worshiping celebrities so much. Just don't listen, pay attention. I remember right around September 11th, Ja Rule was on MTV. That's what they said. We got Ja Rule on the phone. Let's see what Ja's thoughts are on this tragedy. Who gives a fuck what Ja Rule thinks at a time like this, nigga? This is ridiculous. I don't want to dance. I'm scared to death.
I don't want to dance.
There's some answers that Ja Rule might not have right now. When bad shit happens to me, I'll be in the crib like, oh my God, this is terrible. Could somebody please find Ja Rule, get hold of this motherfucker so I can make sense of all this. Where is Ja? God, me Ja Rule.
Yeah, so in the Hulu one, they did a whole like,
Chris has some editing to do.
Yeah, I got some editing to do. But they did a whole deal on the Chappelle deal. It just makes Ja Rule
awesome.
Look like such an idiot with all of his like speeches and stuff. And then was it in the Netflix one where they're having like in one of the docs, they're having like a mission control meeting after fire, after everybody had gotten back to the States. And one of the employees goes, that's called fraud. And Ja's like, no, that ain't fraud. He goes, we call it false advertising.
Yeah.
That was the Netflix one.
That was
the
Netflix.
The video conference call.
Like,
yeah. Well, you can call things anything you want to is the point of those. Well, so yeah, Fyre, F-Y-R-E, check it out. I'm sure a lot of people that have listened already have, but I have not checked out the Hulu one.
That's good. That's good.
I'm certainly going to do that.
Who would be Chris's celebrities that are going to post, you know, on Instagram just a random color, right? Who are his influencers
for Clonapalooza?
Yeah. I think Niang's going to be on there.
Yeah, Niang. We'll get a cup Jacob Park.
Nice.
You're reaching coast to coast here.
Yeah, maybe if I can find Steel Jantz, he'd be a really good like special guest.
Is he an influencer,
though?
Oh, my God.
If I could get Steel Jantz.
Brock Purdy's allowed to talk to you now.
No, but he can't promote anything because he's a student athlete. If I could get Steel Jantz to, like, show up and just hang with chicks –
The return of Steel.
Yeah, like think about how great that would be. Hey, at 5:30, Steel Jantz is going to be on stage.
If you your VIP lounge right
if
there.
You pull up or pull off Cyclone Palooza or whatever.
No, you can't use Cyclone. It's got to be
Clona Palooza. Can you?
Lebo wants to call it Clonechella.
Jeez, that sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen. It just does. Can you bump some Loomis P?
Oh yeah. Yep. Absolutely. We'll get like members of that Whitford and Danielson and Loomis P team to go up there and sing Ames Most Wanted.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I hope you do great. I hope you do pull it off. But
okay, so speaking of like frauds.
Interesting.
Just got back from Waco. In fact, I was there just like 12 hours ago.
Yep.
It's amazing what air travel does.
Sure does.
I'm talking to this bartender at the hotel after we had gotten there. And I got really into Koresh.
David Koresh, yeah.
And the Branch Davidians. This was one of the things that I really tackled. I read like two books on him, watched like three documentaries.
In preparation or just in general? Like you've done that just out of
over the last couple
of
years.
Okay.
I just really fascinated by the story.
Reminds me of the old joke, what does Waco stand for? Remember that one?
No.
What a cookout.
Oh, man, jeez. Yeah. Totally inappropriate.
Okay. Welcome to the podcast.
It's one of those deals, though, like I remember from my childhood, not being old enough to understand what it was, but I remember it being on the TV. Mm-hmm. And I remember mom and dad saying, like, there's this crazy guy, and he's got all these people in there, and they're going to die. And, like, and I remember specifically the day that happened, mom and dad had it on TV. I remember everything about it, but I didn't understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I start talking to this bartender, and I'm like, hey, you know, really into the Branch Davidian thing. Like, it's like I think it's really interesting. And the guy immediately gets standoffish with me.
Yeah.
Like, he's.
Oh, you're one of those people.
He just. The locals in Waco have a really hard time with the fact that that's what they're known for, which I totally understand. In fact, Art Briles, in his second book, wrote an entire chapter about this. Hmm. That's one of the hardest things that he had when he was building that program in recruiting, because
people hear Waco, they think of
David Koresh.
Yep.
Well, I wanted to, while I was down there, we had a little downtime after shoot around. I wanted to go out to the Branch Davidian complex. Like, I really wanted to go see it. There's like a museum out there, take some pictures, just investigate, right?
Yeah.
Well, the problem was that, one, I didn't have a car. Two, it was about a 15-minute drive. Three, there's really no Uber servicing in Waco.
Really?
There's only a couple of Uber drivers.
How small is Waco?
It's not very big.
Smaller than Ames?
From what I saw,
yeah.
I certainly don't know the population.
Yep. Stat guy's going to get on there.
But you're looking at a private school as opposed to one that brings 40,000 kids to campus.
Yeah.
Stat boy over there.
Waco's got about 136,000 people.
So that's
big. That's bigger than Ames.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was just in the university part, so clearly there was more to it. However, the guy is like, yeah, if you go out there, there's like these gates, and if the gates open, like some woman will walk out. She's a Branch Davidian, and you give her $10, and she'll take you on a tour.
So even after all that, it's still their compound.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, I'll give her $10. Yep. Like, I would love that, and just talk to her about, like, I'm sure she had relatives or something that,
yeah.
Like, I'm like, this will be really interesting. The problem is, so, like, I came into the issue, and this is what the guy warned me about. He goes, it's so far out of town, you might have a hard time getting an Uber back.
Hmm. Okay.
And so I came to the predicament, like, one, I really want to do this because I'm super interested in this, and I've like, planned out my entire day so I could go do this. But two, what if I get stuck out there with the Branch Davidians?
You're one of them now.
And because I wouldn't, you know, no taxis coming out there.
That
would have
been
country.
An interesting broadcast.
That's the citywide.
Chris Williams will join us as soon as he's back from the Branch Davidian compound.
No, like, he just belongs
could
to
you,
them.
Could you see me in there, like, in their church?
Yeah.
Being like, hey.
Yeah, I got
pregame in an hour.
I got to go.
Like, so I didn't get to go out there, which I was very disappointed about, but I couldn't run the risk of being stuck with the Branch Davidians.
Yeah. Never to be seen again.
Well,
you become their property once you step on their land. That's the way it works.
I really wanted to do it, though.
The good news is you would have had five wives or whatever they're
no,
into.
No, I wouldn't have. Whoever they're – I guess I could have.
Probably. Probably.
I think Chris is pretty conversion proof. I mean, he doesn't believe everything he reads.
Yeah, I'm not.
You don't trust the government. He does, you know, like
Ross and I were texting about it. He was like, legitimately, he's like, dude, don't go out there by yourself. Like, Ross is being serious because he's.
I think you would fit in that. I don't think you have a whole lot of trust for government and believe aliens are real. So
the government's completely covered that up.
They might welcome you to their table and break bread with you and say, tell us more of these theories.
Maybe they've been reading up on you, waiting for you.
You could have been the new David Koresh.
No,
you could have led these people.
Oh, no way. I wouldn't want to do that.
Man, he probably had some power.
It was a really disappointing deal for me. So I settled for walking over to that Magnolia Market and got my wife a cupcake.
Oh, is that the Chip and Joanna?
Yeah.
That's there in Waco? I didn't know that.
I didn't really investigate it much. That's not my...
Pretty popular place.
Yeah, it is. I'd much rather hang out at the Branch Davidian Complex myself.
I've got good news. If you like their stuff, you don't need to go to Waco. You can just go down to Homemakers. They sell a lot of their stuff there as well. So
yeah, the wife wanted to see it. She wants to. I think it's a little overplayed myself.
Stay.
Yeah,
local.
But you earned some pretty good brownie points there with the wife.
Yeah, I literally brought her a brownie.
Right.
All right.
I could have fulfilled my lifelong dream of going to the Branch Davidian, but
do you guys, since you're in real estate, do you sit around watching HGTV?
No. What do we watch? We watch Colin. See the TV right
no,
there?
No, I'm not saying like here. I'm saying like
not
at
really.
Night. Like, are you interested in like watch House Hunters?
No. I watch the Million Dollar Listing series on Bravo.
Yeah.
That's what I watch.
Did you see that the most expensive house ever sold in America went down yesterday?
We did hear about that.
In New York.
Was it the penthouse in New York?
Yeah.
200-something million.
It was $238 million, I think.
That's a lot of coin.
But I'm surprised there hasn't been anything more expensive than that.
Well, I mean, what would it be, though? We don't have a Taj Mahal here. I mean, it's...
I don't know. Like, when Michael Jackson died, I'm surprised he didn't have something better than that.
No, his house is relatively, as far as real estate goes. There's a gorgeous one.
This is more an amusement park.
There's a gorgeous one that's for sale now. Nick and I have seen videos of this. I think it's 185 mil out there.
I couldn't remember how much
that
was.
It's got, like, nightclubs in it. And it's got everything you'd ever want.
Multiple nightclubs.
It's ridiculous. And someone made a good point. It's like, that's really not that expensive when you compare it to a massive yacht that people buy. And how much
the Jerry Jones yacht that
and how much time
day.
They spend on a yacht compared to how much time they spend at their house. You know, it seems like people spend more on the yacht than they will on the house, but they don't spend a lot of time. You're talking about conspiracy theories. I got a theory for you. You tell me if I'm right about this or way off base.
Okay.
Okay. So this involves my daughter. This is an item on our bucket list today.
Oh, that she got high?
Yeah. So.
Never leave your gummies just sitting around.
Yeah. So.
You had weed gummies?
Monday night, my 4-year-old daughter is acting very, very strange. Okay. Like staring at us with wide eyes. Like not acting normal, but literally wide eyed, like nobody's home type of thing. And. She's normally in bed on an average night by 7:30, 8 at the latest. Normally asleep by 8:39 at the latest, that type of thing. This particular night, she did not actually go to sleep till 3 a.m. Acting wired, acting very, very strange. And eventually my wife went down and slept with her, and even then she was restless. And a couple times she said, I said, are you feeling okay? And she didn't have a fever, but she said a couple of times that she was a little dizzy, but not falling down and not acting sick. So then my and at one point, she kept getting out of bed or saying like
– She had to pee?
Didn't have to pee. So we have a Nest Cam in her room. And she's like, is it morning yet? And it's like 10 o'clock at night. You know, she doesn't do this on a normal day at all. Like, no, Hollis, it's not even close. Go to bed. And at one point I went down there and, like, didn't yell at her but was upset with her. Like, I did the dad thing. You stay in bed. You don't get out of bed. Like, I was harsh with her. And normally, if you do that, it's going to bring on some tears. You know, like, dad's scaring me right now and dad's mad at me.
Were you yelling?
I wasn't yelling. I was just raising my voice and saying, if you get out of bed again, I'm going to spank you, that type of thing.
Okay.
Like, it was dad's last straw, right? Because she was not, in my mind, she wasn't behaving, right?
Yeah.
So, and as I'm doing this, she's just staring at me. Like, wide-eyed again, so kind of nodding her head, but not reacting like she normally would. I'm like, God, I don't know what's up with her. And my wife commented too. She's like, it seems like it's neurological. Like, she's just like, no one's home. She's fidgety. Like, all this stuff. Very, very weird. We're trying to piece it together. So eventually,
was she near a Ouija board?
She was not, dude. So eventually she went, got to sleep. My wife went down, and the next day she was still a little bit odd, but has gotten better now that we're at Thursday. So we're thinking, okay, that was weird. What the hell was going on with her? So my wife yesterday is talking to a friend of hers who does DNA analysis for the state crime lab. She's a, let's call her a scientist, right? Smart person. And my wife is relaying the story to the friend just to kind of tell her about it. And the friend says, does Hollis have any squishy toys? Like stress ball, like type toys, right? And my wife said, holy crap. The night before this, we were at a friend's house and a little girl had one and gave it to Hollis. So Hollis took this thing home, played with it, slept with it. Hollis likes to put her fingers in her mouth. She's at that stage. So she's rubbing this thing and like putting fingers in her mouth. And the friend says, those things are known, especially if they're made in China, et cetera, to have toxins in them. And they also, there's, and you can go online and look at this stuff. There's also lots of reports of kids having hallucinations and things based on the toxins that these things are releasing. So now we're left with two options, right? One, total coincidence and something else was wrong with Hollis. Or two, that stupid squishy toy created something in her that made her basically freak out like she was on drugs.
Dude, that is crazy.
I would never believe something like that unless I witnessed my daughter and how weird she was acting. She was not acting like my daughter that night at all.
So she's fine now?
She's fine now, but it would be the equivalent of like sniffing fumes and getting high off of them. So I'm like, is that it? And again, not a doctor. I'm not saying with 100% certainty that was it. But what I would say,
well, if that lady,
if your kids are, and to keep in mind, my wife didn't say she has a squishy toy. She asked if she had a squishy toy.
Yeah.
If your kids have these like stress ball type things that they're sleeping with, reconsider it.
Wow.
Or read some articles about it.
That's a public service announcement here from the podcast.
So my question is, where do you come down on the validity of this story?
No, it sounds, if the scientist is tipping you off on that, it's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's any conspiracy about it.
No, I think it's 100% valid.
Based off of the way you just told the story.
That's how the story went down. But I'm like, so my wife wants me to call her pediatrician today and just run it by him and see if he's like, oh, that can't happen. I mean, I believe it. At this point, I believe it happened based on the anecdotal evidence.
My wife would probably know.
The anecdotal evidence.
Because like, a lot of times, you'd be shocked how many like different types of plants or will like do that to dogs or cats.
Yeah.
Like there are plants out there that if a dog takes a bite of it or something like that, it'll make it high.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's kind of like catnip, right? I mean, that's...
Well, yeah. I mean, catnip's making them high.
Yeah.
And we were saying, it's like drugs for cats, and that's why they act so effing crazy.
And Hollis is really small. Hollis weighs nothing. So it wouldn't take a lot of anything.
Well, I'm glad you got that stress ball away from her, though. Christ.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, I know.
Like, if she had, like, 5 days of that, it'd be horrible.
Yeah, so...
I mean, have you talked to her about it?
Yeah, it's tough to talk to a four-year-old no matter what you're talking about. You know, Hollis, did you feel weird the other night?
What'd she say?
She's like, no, but
she was high.
She was out of it. Yeah. I've been around a few people that are high, and that's how she looked. She looked like she was just on bath salts, man. It was like, and as a parent, it's a little bit freaky to see your kids acting like that at any point. Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Bath salts would have made her want to eat your face, right? Wouldn't that have
turns them into zombies?
You think about like what like lead-based paint has done, or just lead paint on toys. Like that's the way it used to be. Or most of your baby products now are BPA free, I believe.
Yeah,
because there's chemicals in those plastics and everything that leaches out that is transferable somehow. I mean, so I think it's a 100% valid story, or it could be, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll definitely call the doctor today and just run it by him. But anyway, that is the PSA today.
Jeez.
If your kids have that crap, unless they love it, it's their best friend. And I'm not saying they're all toxic. You know, I think
I think
they do make safe versions, but you would probably need to check to make sure that was the version that you had and not something that was from China or somewhere else.
I just stay clear of him.
Yeah. Or do that. So that works too. So I feel like I saved a life today.
That's great. Now I feel like I'm just kind of – I'm more concerned about Hollis and less
I think she's,
Bakke.
I think she's gonna pull through. We can get back to basketball-related things if you'd like. Because I was gonna ask you.
I don't really want to talk basketball.
It's not.
I'd rather talk about this.
It's not basketball. Basketball arenas.
Oh yeah.
That's where I was going. So I asked you before we started where you think Hilton Coliseum ranks, and you asked, "What do I mean?"
Yeah, like with people in it.
No, taking away the fans. You've seen every Big 12 arena but one.
Lubbock, I've not been to.
Lubbock. So I asked you just because I haven't been to them, where you would rank Hilton in terms of. The overall feel inside the building and what it looks like
you
on
know
the
what?
Outside.
I take it back. I haven't been to Norman either now, but I'm going to Norman in March.
So, and I asked you, what so did you two. Think, what's the best looking arena from the outside? And you said West Virginia.
I think it looks really cool. West Virginia looks like, it's called the Coliseum. Which obviously Hilton has that in his name too.
Yep.
Hilton's this giant like concrete structure that looks fairly intimidating when you walk up to it
because
it's so big and it's really, but it looks like a square.
Yeah.
You know, the Coliseum in West Virginia looks like a Roman Coliseum.
It's more rounded.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're like, you can tell they're physically building that thing to make it look like an old Roman Coliseum, which I think is really cool. It's like a – so from the outside, that's the best one that I've seen.
And you like the inside almost equally as
well.
Yeah,
I love the inside. So inside I would go Fog Allen is, in my opinion, just – I love the old school. I'm sure – I haven't been to Assembly in Indiana, but I'm sure I would love it equally. I love the old, like, Hoosiers type feel in those old arenas. I like Galgariba a lot because of that too. It has a similar type of feel in Stillwater.
When you say Hoosiers, that reminds me. So you're essentially comparing Fog Allen to Hinckley Fieldhouse. That's kind of the
dude. Fog Allen is like, if you just walk into Fog Allen and there's no fans in there, you kind of be like, huh?
Yeah.
But then like, there's a charm of it though. I would compare it to like Wrigley.
Yeah.
Like, well, Wrigley's not...
They have a museum right outside the gym.
Yeah.
It's kind of odd.
But I remember the first time I went to Wrigley, I was kind of like, well...
What's all the fuss about?
Yeah, it's so old, and now I know they've done a lot of renovations to it, but like...
A lot nicer now.
But you walk in, and you just, like, stumble upon it. Fog Allen isn't like this deal that you see from 2 miles away.
Yeah.
You know? But it's got this, like, charm about it that's undeniable.
Yeah.
And, I mean, clearly I'm biased to Hilton. I think that Hilton, as far as, like, fan involvement, is probably the best. I don't know. Fog Allen, the way it's shaped, is really good, too, because everybody's on top of you. But I think Hilton is built for crowd noise, which is awesome. I don't know. Like, it just depends on, like, what I'm ranking here.
What is the, in your opinion, having been to almost all of them, what's the worst? Is there one that sticks out as, like, this place sucks?
The Farrell Center is pretty bad.
Which one's that?
That's right. Baylor.
Baylor. Okay.
I mean, it's – I don't know. It reminded me a lot of Carver Hawkeye, like an older Carver Hawkeye arena that's smaller. And I hate how, like,
you walk in – same configuration, you go down.
Yeah, I don't like that. It's just not – it doesn't do it for me. I'm not a huge fan. TCU, I went to their old one. I have not been to their new one.
Yeah, because they just opened a brand new one, right? Last year?
Man, it's just so hard like to factor these things in as empty. Like, because I incorporate the fans so much, you know what I mean?
The experience of
like,
it.
Like, the atmosphere in West Virginia sucks when I've been there, but that's because the fans. But, like, I would guess if I would have been in there on Saturday when they were playing Kansas, it would have been really awesome. You know what I'm saying?
One thing that's cool about Fog Allen, and they can do this because of their history, and I noticed when the game was about to start, the players, the Kansas players too, that have seen it a bunch, and Iowa State players are watching the video board because they do a really loud intro.
They crank it up.
Intro video that says like, do-do-do-do. Five national championship. Yeah. Shows Wilt Chamberlain. Shows all the greats that have played at Kansas. So, and that makes you think, especially if you're a visiting player, I'm in the middle of something here, man. You know?
I think that Stansbury and I talked about this before.
Yeah.
I think that Iowa State should do more with its legacy in basketball.
But like you've got to do it without the national championship part.
So. No, it's fine. But I mean, your
NBA,
legacy,
NBA picks.
Well,
like
I
that.
Mean, not to discourage like from promoting your current players, but I think that you would get fired up and be more intimidating in there if there's a giant thing of Johnny Orr and George Niang and Fred Hoiberg and Flash Tim Floyd up there and Pfizer dunking, you know, like Iowa State has some great history in basketball.
Yeah,
we do. Like it's not Kansas history, but it's history that our fan base appreciates the crap out of. And I think we should celebrate that more.
Make some noise for her.
I do wish,
you know,
when I'm in there, I do wish. And
you can't get Niang and like Naz.
Oh, you could get those guys to do stuff.
To do something to hype up the crowd? Like, think about that.
You could, but I think a big part of hyping up the crowd is, and again, there's logistics involved with this. I totally get it. But what I mentioned about Kansas is accurate. When they do that video, it is loud. You can still hear it.
Yeah.
But it is loud. Hilton Coliseum is half the volume. Like, on those intros, when you get the music pumping, you need it to be loud. Almost like obnoxiously loud. Because it's getting you pumped and hyped in that moment. They don't need to announce every, you know, three-pointer at that volume, but just it's too soft. There's no other way to say it. Can you turn the volume up, or are we at max capacity?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Who do we yell at for this?
Well, they'll probably get back to him.
Pollard, we know you listen to this, dude. Turn up the volume.
A nice request.
So one thing Baylor did last night, their women's game, that I thought was super cool. And I don't know if you could do it with our women's crowd because it's a very old crowd.
Yeah.
They had a DJ.
Really?
And it was awesome. Like, the DJ's up there, like, spinning stuff. Like, really? Boom, time, officials time out. Hip-hop parade. And he's up there, and, like, the band's dancing with him. And, like, it was really cool. I don't think you could do that at an Iowa State women's game. But I think I could totally work at Hilton on like a Saturday afternoon.
What is your
there's a couple places that do this. Ole Miss football does something similar. Like Ole Miss football on like when a third down comes up, they'll just blast like Little John.
Yeah.
Like and it's loud.
Can we do something that I would say like
we're starting
that?
Starting to do more of that.
Like the revving noise. Like yeah. Get the crowd fired up.
They've done like the one thing that Iowa State's done that the siren is so cool.
Does college basketball prohibit? I assume they do, because college basketball is big into bands. Do they prohibit all music during play? Because the NBA certainly does not. The NBA has music as they're dribbling up the court and stuff.
Yeah, you have to.
Do you like it or hate that?
I like the NBA doing that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Get the latest hits.
I think it's just a nice touch. It's funny. I was talking to Bill Finley about when they had the NBA preseason game up there, and he was telling me about his grandson being there,
mm-hmm.
and he had never been to an NBA game, and like he's just like, yeah, he's like Will's looking around. You know, they're playing music during, like it was just a lot going on for like a kid.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because if you're not used to it, like if you're five or whatever, and you've been to as many basketball games as that kid has, and then all of a sudden you're at one and they're bumping music during the game and stuff like
that.
It's
very different.
I like it. I think it's cool. Plus, it's a different feel, too. The 24-second shot clock, I absolutely love.
Action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Yeah, well,
and it allows, like, those huge comebacks that you see in the NBA.
And it allows points. I mean, college is a shorter game by 8 minutes, so you're going to have a lot less points. But making people shoot faster creates more points. I mean, it's fairly rare to have NBA games where either team's under 100. I mean, it's a bad offensive team, really. I don't know. Will college ever get to a 24-second shot clock?
No.
It doesn't feel that way to me.
I don't feel like the players are ever going to be good enough
to do it. Yeah. At least they've shortened it, which is nice. The next invention we need is the shot clock at the high school level. Let's get that done first. Just any shot clock.
Yeah, just give us something.
45
seconds.
I see
someone tweeted. I don't know if it was Connor or somebody, but someplace the shot clock went down, so they announced 10 seconds, they announced 5 seconds and counted down from there. Kind
yeah
of
that
thing.
Was like, the other day. I can't remember where that was at. The announcer had to come on and says 20 and then 10 and then counted down from five.
It's crazy we don't have more clock problems.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2019, Williams. I mean, technology's a...
We had one in Baylor last night.
Can you imagine the pressure? Occasionally you do see clock problems, and then maintenance has to come out, and they get the ladder, and that guy, like, you got 15,000 so, watching the guy trying to figure out cords and stuff.
We had a deal when I was in West Virginia last week. This is crazy. So a West Virginia girl was shooting free throws, and I'm not this split second before she shot the free throw throughout the arena goes like the horn like just got possessed.
And did they let her do it again?
She made it.
Oh, she made
it. Yeah, so they let her keep it, but yeah. She looks over and it's like, you know, what the hell? And then we thought that they had it figured out, and then it happened again, but yeah. it was like in the middle of play.
Someone's like leaning on the buzzer.
Yeah.
Oops.
The look on that girl's face, though, was just...
Something I have no knowledge of, and maybe you do because you don't sit right next to the guy running the scoreboard, but sometimes when you see clock problems, start, stop, whatever, just you're watching basketball games and they do happen occasionally, is it literally a guy over there that's hitting start and stop?
Yeah, so those
it's
guys...
all on one person?
You know what's crazy? Those guys don't even get paid.
Really?
They're all volunteers.
God, pressure. A lot of pressure to have those
things
right.
Generally, like I know the case at Iowa State, those guys are – I don't believe they get – I guess I shouldn't say that, matter of fact. I think that they volunteer. I'm not 100% sure, I guess. They may get – but they've all been there for, like, decades. Yeah. And they've all worked together, and they're really good at it, and they're so good at it. They're like the Big 12 will, like, take Iowa State's crew down to Oklahoma City or to Kansas City to run, like, for the tournaments and
really?
Stuff. Yeah. So they're really good at it. But, like, my point is it's not like – those guys are flying in from Irving, Texas to do these games.
Driving in from
they're just,
it's
yeah,
not,
they're,
it's not
they're,
like a Big 12 crew.
No,
it's
but they
local, yeah.
But I don't know if they have to take a class or what, but they have like shirts on that like have Big 12 on them.
Yeah,
but it's, yeah, it's just general
it
guys.
It seems like sometimes in some games you do see someone that looks like a ref sitting at the table.
Yeah, I think that they put on shirts like that or something, but then yeah, it's just random like it's locals from these towns that are just trained in it, and they just kind of do it. As a lot of times they're retired guys.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they're not. I love the Iowa State. I've always wanted to do a podcast with Steve and Rich.
Yeah.
They're the two guys.
They do it.
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
Let me ask you one basketball question. You didn't want to talk basketball.
No, I don't care. I'll talk about
based on right now.
I kind of have to poop.
Who is going to win the Big 12 based on right now? It was Texas Tech, and now they've lost three in a row. K-State was garbage. Now K-State is winning every game. Iowa State, a lot of talent, a little up and down. Kansas, not the Kansas that they used to be, but still Kansas. Who is going to win the Big 12? Call your shot.
Kansas.
Kansas and Texas Tech, right?
You think both?
Co.
No, I don't think Tech will. I would go just Kansas. Really? I think Iowa State has the best team. I honestly do. I think they're the best team this year. But I think that they're going to peak. I think they're already in the process of peaking. Even the other night, the loss, like, to me, was still a step forward.
Yeah.
But I don't think Kansas will lose at home. And, you know, Iowa State already has, what, three losses?
Mm-hmm. They were 4-2 going into that game.
Yeah, I think Iowa State just losing those two games when they did will really come back to haunt them. But – I do think Iowa State has the best team as far as, like, in the tournament. But I don't know. Kansas, like, guys, we do this every freaking year. They're going to get better. You know, I know that they don't look great right now, but, like, they showed signs to me of coming together against Iowa State the other night in the second half. Like, they had guys making plays and stepping up and doing things that we hadn't seen all year.
Well, people are like, oh, they're not good.
It's no,
like,
they have talent.
It's still Kansas. They still have Kansas caliber players.
Would you rather have Kansas win the Big 12 if it's not Iowa State to dethrone them?
Why would you want Kansas to win the Big 12? That's my question.
Well, do you want their streak to end, or do you want it to keep going until Iowa State
No, I'd like their streak to end.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't care who it is.
I don't. I want it to keep going.
You want to be the one to knock them off?
I want Iowa State to be the one that knocks them down, yeah.
And I think I think I could make the argument either way here. I think I could make the argument that it makes the leagues look stronger if Kansas wins every year, and I think I could make the point that it makes it look weaker. The reason it happens, though, is because we don't have those stupid uneven schedules like you do in every other league.
Yeah.
Like, it just – it breeds for the best team to win every year.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's playing everybody.
Hey,
and everybody's
every game counts.
Which is
what
true.
They say, which is a football thing. But, hey, well.
You see what I'm saying, though? Like.
I hear you.
When you have uneven schedules, it will allow a team who just had the easier schedule to be propelled over a team that is better than them. When you're even out, the best team is going to win. And I think that's why they've been able to do it. Now, all their streak hasn't been in the current Big 12. I understand that. But back in the day, God, think about some of the dudes they were running out there for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, Iowa State's time will come.
Do you remember when the Big 12 had, like, Blake Griffin, Kevin Durant?
They had some players.
Oh, my God.
It's some players. Big 12 gets good talent. I don't think that,
I just think back to, like, the McDermott years. We
like,
sucked,
why?
But – no, but, like, think about the league at that time.
Yeah.
How loaded it was.
I just think how bad we were. Yeah.
No, I know, but think about, like, the league, like, the amount of dudes that were coming out every year. It was incredible.
I also think how we didn't get Doug McDermott for some reason. That's what I think about back in those years.
Well, Doug would have never played for Iowa State even in that sense.
I know, but like people say that, but the guy goes on to score 3,000 points.
No, but Greg had left before Doug played in college.
Yeah, I know, but it's just we would have – he could have played at Iowa State. People are like, he couldn't have played at Iowa State. He could have, talent-wise.
Oh, yeah.
He's plenty good enough. Dude's in the NBA. You know, why was Iowa State not more interested in trying to get him?
Well, if you was a father and you thought you were going to get fired – I mean, I don't know.
I'd hopefully look out for my son and be like, this is a Big 12 school. If you can play here,
I think
play.
He made the right decision to not go to the Big 12, though.
It worked out fine.
He was going to have a much better career at that stage of who he was as a player, not playing in a league like the Big 12 where athleticism is the big thing.
Yeah.
He was better off in a different league. I truly believe that.
Shoot or shoot. All right. So
Doug didn't really become Doug until later on.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, he was always good, but it took some development.
He was. So you could get out of here and poop. I did want to give out the date for hair night.
Yeah.
You say you're coming.
Yeah.
To this.
As long as nothing pops up.
I've made sure. I don't know about women's games, but I've made sure there's no men's game. February 12th.
Thanks, Mark.
Tuesday night.
Sexist.
Tuesday night, February 12th, from 6 to roughly 7 here at the Charterhouse Real Estate Office. We'll be having hair night. Hosted by us, Charterhouse, and KK. And this is meant to be for fathers and daughters. So if you have a daughter, bring them. And KK is going to teach you how to do their hair. So I will be learning because I don't know how to do any of this stuff. And it should be a fun night.
Are we going
to
have beer?
There is
for the men,
not for the daughters, but there is.
Giving out little rubber balls, stress
toys.
Balls.
Wouldn't it be funny if someone showed up with their adult daughter to this thing? Like, I just wanted to come.
Hey, did you call Hollis's friend's parents and be like, "Hey, your daughter is handing around poisonous balls"?
We did notify them. It's not their fault.
No, I'm not saying it's their fault.
Yeah, we notified them.
But I mean,
them
their other kids might be sleeping with these
things. Yeah, yeah,
too.
No,
basically the drug dealer in the town.
Yeah, we notified and said, hey
little
just
Emily's handing out
just as an FYI
narcotics to my kid.
No, yes, we certainly did that. So February 12th, 6 p.m. If you want to attend.
So why do you got to do 6 p.m.? You know I'm on the radio till 6 p.m.
Because these people have hopefully young daughters that need to be in bed.
My kid goes to bed at like 11.
You're the rarity for this. Most people with small children, they put into bed at 7 or 8 o'clock.
My kid doesn't even eat dinner
I know,
then,
man.
Most nights.
I know. You're a diamond in the rough. So if you want to get involved.
I'm not being hyperbolic either. That's the God's honor.
Shut up so I can give out an email address. If you want to be involved with this, you're going to get a free brush. We're going to give out a brush so you can use it.
Very generous of you.
Snacks and some sodas or beer if you'd like. You need to email Katie to attend this because we can't have too many people here. The space is not that big. Her email address is Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at charterhouseiowa.com. Katie at charterhouseiowa.com, February 12th, 6 p.m.
Do we have that number? When are we going to stop taking
I don't know. People are already signing up. We're having reservations. I would say if we get to probably 20 for this event. We're going to cap it there.
I think that's, yeah.
Just so we have enough room for people. So if you want to go, if you have a daughter, and if you're clueless on how to do her hair, come join us. It'll be a fun event. Williams will be here. I'll be here. Nick will be here.
Have I already RSVP'd? Like, I'm good.
I wouldn't know because you would have had to have emailed Katie at charterhouseiowa.com.
But do I have to email her since I'm part of the promotions committee?
You can just walk over to her desk and tell her.
Yo, Katie. Coming.
That would work.
Your wife emailed.
Okay.
Oh, the wife emailed. See?
Wow.
She's on top
of
things.
She really wants you to learn.
Did Katie tell you guys what I did to her last week?
Oh, no.
Left the toilet
seat
up?
Yeah.
On purpose?
After that whole deal, I just went in there and peed and then put the toilet
seat. Oh, yeah. No, that's like one of the first things she did when she got back. She went back there and she goes, who did the seat up now? And I said, who do you think did?
Yeah. Chris Williams.
I don't care who you are. That's funny. That's just good, clean fun.
Good is that she got to yell at somebody else about it, too, later that day, maybe. Yeah. The next day.
By the way, Williams, would you agree with this, that this event, if a guy brings his daughter, that's something that impresses the wife? It's going to be like, hey, babe, you know, especially if you only have one kid. Tonight, it's on me. I'm taking the daughter. We're going to go do this thing, and I'm going to be a better dad. I'm going to learn how to do her hair a little bit. That's a winner, man. Wife's going to be happy with you if you attend this thing.
Come on over.
Absolutely.
All right. And then just make sure if you go to the bathroom, put the toilet seat down.
Both of them, and the lid.
Yeah, and the lid. Good show today, fellas. Felt like we accomplished a lot. Have a great weekend.